This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Thanks so much to everybody who submitted a logo to our logo contest. There were dozens of you, very talented bunch. It was very difficult for me to pick, and I did not have the person's name attached to their design. And I want to congratulate the winner. It's Chad Parrish, and he'll be getting a signed copy of Speaking for Liberty. Chad, thanks a million for your great design, which we'll be making use of. Every time I start to think that Obama might be just slightly better than McCain, I mean, just slightly less of a warmonger, he does something to make me think, gee, he's just a representative of the same establishment. As Butler Schaefer says, the two parties being the two wings of the same bird of prey. I thought that Obama was slightly better than McCain until he gave his AIPAC speech. I was beginning to think, because of his reaction to the whole Georgia catastrophe, that maybe Obama wasn't quite as bad as McCain. And then he picks Joe Biden as his vice presidential candidate. Biden is a representative of the worst sorts of the power elite in Washington, D.C. He's right at the heart of the establishment. And more to the point, he's a warmonger. I mean, this is one of the key guys in bringing about the Clinton administration's war on Serbia and the whole Bosnian business that killed so many thousands of people, cost so many billions of dollars, did so much destruction that part of the world is not yet recovered from. And he's been a proponent of this whole Georgia fiasco. In fact, he just made a visit to Georgia to promise the U.S. stooge there, Saakashvili, $1 billion of our money, our taxpayer money, in foreign aid. Now, whether this is for more military weapons, whether it's simply cash payoffs into the Swiss bank accounts of the various politicians in Georgia, I don't know. But of course, it's entirely evil and illegitimate. Obama, you made a very bad pick. I was reminded, too, when I heard the picking of Biden the other day. I was talking to Ron Paul, and he was saying, you know, what an outrage it is, what an outrage is, according to the original American Constitution, that one man should be able to pick the vice president. The way the founding fathers considered that office until the awful 12th Amendment was passed was that the vice president was supposed to be the person who got the second largest number of electoral votes in the election. So that, for example, George W. Bush's vice president over the last 4 years should not have been Dick Cheney, but should have been John Kerry. Now, John Kerry is not a good guy, but it's helpful to have somebody who is not an enabler of the president's crimes, but rather would keep an eagle eye on him and be his opponent. That was one of the checks and balances in the original Constitution. And now we see, of course, that when we have the president as a virtual dictator, an elected dictator, who can start wars on his own, can spend money on his own, when he moves in a foreign country or in this country, it's like Caesar Augustus with a vast train of food tasters and hairdressers and snipers and troops and media flacks and hundreds of hangers-on in his imperial court. That, of course, is not the way the presidency was supposed to be, but that's what we've got. And the other candidate for this unconstitutional and rotten office, known as the presidency of the United States, of course, is John McCain. And I have many reasons to hate John McCain, but the man he would like to be his national security advisor, if he is elected president, is a man called Randy Schoenemann. Schoenemann is a longtime neocon, signed the PNAC statement advocating the Iraq war long before it happened. He's also a paid lobbyist for Georgia. I mean, he's been making many hundreds of thousands of dollars while working for McCain to try to get Georgia put into NATO so that the U.S. would be obligated, not really, of course, but officially obligated, to send troops and to defend our stooge in Georgia, no matter what he does, including, of course, attacking the secessionist provinces of South Ossetia and Abkhazia, which have a right to be independent from Georgia, just as Georgia had the right to be independent from Russia. So this is the guy that McCain would have as his national security advisor, an actual lobbyist for foreign powers. He was a lobbyist for Latvia, for Ukraine, for these other countries that want to be on the gravy train here on the back of the American taxpayers and be the recipients of the blood of American soldiers, no matter what kind of crazy thing they may get involved in. So that's McCain. Very tough to get excited, of course, about either one of these guys. I've been watching the Olympics, as I'm sure most of you have. Very exciting, obviously tremendous performances. I must say I like always the individual performances, since I think both from an historical standpoint, looking at the original Olympics, or really what sports is properly about, individual achievement and individual excellence. So I like to see the individual performances. I don't like the team sports. But to see the great gymnasts, the swimmers, the shot putters, the javelin throwers, really quite an extraordinary thing. And of course, it's always important to ignore the belligerent nationalism that the U.S. media is promoting. We're supposed to be for people just because they're taxed by the same gang of criminals in Washington as we are, and to be against people who are not taxed by that same gang of criminals and therefore known as foreigners. One of the real extraordinary things about the Olympics has been a chance to see Beijing. Any country that the U.S. has as an enemy or might have as a potential enemy is never supposed to be humanized. Therefore, we're very seldom shown pictures of regular life, cars on boulevards, stores, apartment buildings, business buildings, in any country the U.S. might decide to destroy. That was certainly true of Iraq before this war, and it's true of China, too. So, you know, we're never shown pictures, not easy to find pictures, for example, of downtown Shanghai, the great business center of China, that looks like Houston. It's a modern, beautiful city, prosperous city, and obviously Beijing is too. Now, of course, Beijing is the political capital, so it's the recipient of ripoffs from the Chinese people, but still a very, very impressive place. Doug French told me that when he went through the Beijing airport, it was so far superior to any airport in America, and of course had nothing like the sort of security controls that American airports have. He didn't have to take off his shoes and his belt and all the rest of that sort of thing. So China is a modernizing country. We're supposed to hate China, of course. The neocons want us to hate China. The Christian right wants us to hate China. But really, it seems to me we have to give them credit. Look at the progress that has been made in China ever since the end of Mao Zedong's reign, ever since Deng Xiaoping said that he was going to have a new economic policy, that it's good to be rich, and it wasn't a good thing to be poor. And so while China still has a long way to go in terms of civil liberties and other internal policies, their economics have just hugely improved, and as a result, has to be the biggest, fastest increase in prosperity for a people ever, maybe in the history of the human race, what's happened since the mid-1970s to today. And it's continuing, and of course, to the great benefit of the Chinese people and to all of us who are lucky enough to buy Chinese products and Walmart, and I hope you're all shopping in Walmart to outrage the elites and the statists and the haters of the working class and haters of regular people and, the, of course, proponents of trade unionism and those who are in the employ of the trade unions and want you to hate Walmart, want you not to shop there. One of the great things about Walmart is it's full of so many great Chinese products, well-priced Chinese products, and you help yourself when you buy them. You help Walmart. You help Walmart's employees and stockholders, you help your community, and you help the people of China, and you help the businesses in China, and you help increase international peace. As Frederick Bastiat and all the classical liberals have always taught, increased international trade is the path to peace. Because if you're doing business with another country and doing profitable business, it's tougher for the government and the warmongers to launch a war. It doesn't prevent a war from being launched, but it makes it tougher on them. So buy Chinese products. In the meantime, of course, our own country's economy is going down a hole. There was a great article by Dan Rich on Mises.org about the actual size of the Fannie Mae bailout that's coming. He estimates up to $2.5 trillion. That's trillion with a T. We, of course, have the largest bubble ever in the history of the human race since 9/11 that Alan Greenspan and Ben Bernanke and George Bush and Dick Cheney and the rest of the criminals, Pelosi and, of course, the Democrats, too, Biden, Obama, they've all been involved in promoting the Federal Reserve, and it's created this horrific first artificial boom. Now we have the bust. We've only begun, unfortunately, to suffer from the bust. And now they want to rip off the American people to the extent of $2.5 trillion to bail out these special interests. I noticed, too, that the Korean state investment company is talking about investing, quote-unquote investing, in Lehman Brothers. Now, Lehman Brothers is another one of these Wall Street firms very well connected with the federal government and with the Federal Reserve that's bankrupt, exactly like Bear Stearns. So what is the U.S. doing? Of course, they're desperate to bail out these firms. This is one of the reasons the U.S. continues to militarily occupy Korea all these years after that horrible war, so that it can make the Korean government do stuff like this. So they're getting the Korean government to bail out the Korean people, to bail out Lehman Brothers, to bail out the special interest on Wall Street. Meanwhile, Ben Bernanke is saying that he's starting to get concerned about inflation. He's going to be fighting inflation by having the economy grow slower. I always get a kick out of when you hear these Fed chairmen or any Fed officials talking about fighting inflation. After all, the Federal Reserve was set up to inflate. That's the purpose of the Federal Reserve. It exists to inflate. This has benefits for the special interest and for the state itself, not benefits, of course, for the rest of us. But that's the purpose of the Fed. So the idea that the Federal Reserve is fighting inflation, again, it's like Al Capone saying he's going to be fighting beer drinking. That wouldn't be believable, and this is not believable. Well, those are my remarks for today. Thanks for listening, and thanks again to Chad Parrish for the logo that we'll be using.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@LouRockwell.com. And thanks for listening.